Donald Trump and his ethics lawyer have spoken. So what is the next step on potential conflicts of interest? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President-elect Trump has now said he will turn over control of his businesses to his two sons and that the businesses will restrict domestic and foreign dealing. But the next president will not divest completely. Some ethics watchdogs say that is not enough. Walter Schaub, director of the Office of Government Ethics, called the moves, quote, wholly inadequate. If this isn't adequate, are there any next steps for those who want the president to aspire to a higher standard on potential conflicts of interest? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is on the ethics beat.
At this stage, there's little aside from speaking out that ethics critics, who are legion on both Democratic and Republican sides, can do to stop Trump's conflict of interest plans. Ethics lawyer Rob Walker says the statutes simply don't apply.
There is no legal requirement of divesting to recuse himself, in other words, disqualify himself from official decisions in areas where he might have some form of personal financial interest.
Democrats this week introduced legislation to force this and all future presidents to divest from business interests and potential conflicts, but Republicans control both houses of Congress. Some critics have argued Trump's businesses will violate the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution by taking payments from foreign governments, and that on day one, Trump could be open to impeachment. That's up to the House of Representatives.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman from our desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting. Let's check the live numbers here. The FTSE index in London is down 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.2% range. And Fortune magazine did the calculation. Big pharmaceutical companies lost $24.6 billion in stock market value within 20 minutes after President-elect Trump said during his news conference yesterday that drug companies are getting away with, quote, murder on prices and moving their tax headquarters overseas. Pfizer stock closed down 1.8%, Amgen down 1.4%, for instance. It is good human resources practice to do an exit interview before someone leaves a job. If you go to marketplace.org, we have just posted my extended conversation with the outgoing U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, Jack Lew, officially Jacob Lew, it says on the dollar bills. We talked about the future of the financial reforms put in place after the last financial crisis, some of which the next administration may want to roll back. We talked about the need for close international cooperation on managing future financial crises, and we talked about the economy, capital T, capital E.
You can feel pretty good about where we were 8 years ago and how far we've come from there to now. Having created 13.5 million private sector jobs, having gone from an economy that was losing 700,000-800,000 jobs a month to gaining almost 200,000 jobs a month, wages have been going up. Poverty has gone down faster than in any other measured period.
But we know many people are being left behind in cities, rural places, places that used to have more factory jobs. It's persistent. People are upset about this. I don't know, is this an economic question or a philosophical question, Secretary Lew? But is this something that you ultimately have been left feeling is resistant to policy, the economic dislocation that people feel?
I think there's some other things going on, two other things in particular, that are not just a question of the business cycle. One is the role of technology. You know, and we've all seen it in our day-to-day lives. We see it in our home lives. We see it in our work lives. In our offices, people not doing jobs that they did when I started working in the 1970s and 1980s.
Technological unemployment. Robots ate my job. It's that concept.
The question is, what does it mean about the structure of the economy and what does it mean about the workplace? If you're a manufacturing worker who's worked for 20, 30 years on a production line, it's not that likely that you're going to go out and become a computer programmer. For the future, it's different. For the future, the question is, what skills do we give to our children and our grandchildren so that the next generation has the skills to take the advantages of technology and take it to a higher level with more value-added work that they can do and the wages and the security in life that go with that? But there's another component, and that is, as you see technology come into the workplace, you're also seeing a shift that the benefits of economic activity are more going to those who own the capital and less to those who provide the labor, because the input of capital and labor are shifting in terms of what the composition of the economy is.
But my question was, if policy could fix this, what the Treasury Secretary offered is tax policy.
I think that the questions that have to be asked as the Congress makes policy over the next year is tax policy going to help or hurt in terms of rewarding working families versus those who already are quite well off? And if you can't answer those questions, a yellow light ought to start blinking, because what we learned in 1980 and what we learned in 2001 is you make the decisions quickly and they have a long tail. It takes a decade to go back and repair the things.
All right. You're a young man still, a bit early for Social Security for you, even the early version of Social Security. Anything to announce yet on the career front for you?
No announcements yet, but, I'm proud to have had 8 years of service at a level that, one could only dream of when I started out in this line of work. I look forward to spending some time doing some teaching and some writing and to thinking about the future in the comfort of living in the same city as my wife again after 8 years of commuting.
That must be New York, right?
It is New York.
Jack Lew, U.S. Treasury Secretary, for about another week here. Secretary Lew, thank you.
Thanks so much, David.
You can hear our full interview at marketplace.org. A link is bannered across the homepage now. My Marketplace colleagues are also chasing an interview with the man Donald Trump wants as our next Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin. Watch this space, as they say. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.